Are you tired of the 9-to-5 lifestyle? Do you want more freedom to do what you want, when you want it, without sacrificing your current income? Then this is the show for you. Every week, we dive into John's journey towards financial freedom and everything he has learned since 2014. Real estate investing, cryptocurrency, stocks, private lending, foreign residency, tax saving strategies, infinite banking, assets protection, and much more. Now, here is your host, the founder of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus, John Rickgarn.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening to this. This is John Rickgarn again, your host of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. And today we have another great guest. We have Dana Samuelson, who I met actually 3 months ago through the Real Estate Guys when we were in wonderful Belize for the summit on sand. It's usually the summit at sea, but this year was a little bit different. Dana's actually been in the gold and silver industry for longer than I've been alive. So I won't, give dates or anything. I'll just leave it at that. But then since then, he also founded AGE in 1998 and was also a protege of the great James Blanchard, who, little backstory, was kind of, shall we say, very integral to, or so that Americans can own gold again for many, many years. Again, before my time, not many people know this, it was illegal to own gold. It was quite a bit of fines and possibly jail time if you own gold. So Blanchard had a lot to do with that. And like I mentioned, Dana was a protege of him. But I don't know, I've been talking here for long enough, so I'll just pass it on to Dana. Dana, welcome to the show and thanks for being here.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm happy to try and help your listeners in any way I can understand the precious metals space as readily and easily as possible.
Perfect. So, and maybe with that, maybe we'll just start with a very, kind of high level of, why should someone invest in gold and silver? I mean, I think we've all seen the, infomercials late at night, and unfortunately, with every industry, there's always some scammers as well as the reputable ones. But I guess just high level, whether it's you or me or even a beginning investor, why should someone invest in gold or silver? Gold and silver, I should say.
Well, gold and silver are the oldest forms of money we have on the planet. And if you go back to 500 BC, and even earlier, there are coins that were made of gold and silver. And these metals were specifically picked for a couple different reasons. Number one, they're scarce in the ground, so there is some scarcity to them. Number two, they're malleable. So you can make them into coins pretty easily. Okay. And number three, they're impervious to the elements, so they hold up well over time. So they made really good metals to make coinage out of. And gold has that really unique yellow gold color, and it's very hard to find. It's 20 times scarcer than gold, silver in the ground. Okay. And silver is pretty scarce. So they made good metals to make money or currency out of. Now today, we think of money and currency as the same thing, but really they're two different things. Money is something that has value. So gold and silver have always had perceived value. Oil has value. Land has value, but they're not good mediums of exchange. So we've used them as currency also for most of man's time on the planet, up until the 1930s when the gold was removed from the coinage of the United States, in the 1960s when the silver was removed from the coinage of the United States, and 1971 in particular when Richard Nixon took the U.S. off of the gold standard, which backed every dollar that was printed by the Fed by an equivalent value in gold.
Okay.
And we broke that backing in 1971 mm-hmm. because we'd gone through an inflationary period in the late 60s and early 70s, deficit spending because of the Vietnam War. And France in particular didn't trust the dollar, the value of the dollar, and they wanted to be paid in gold. We had about 14,000 tons of gold in Fort Knox. And when that got down to about 8,000, because gold was flowing out of the country to pay our trade deficits, and the amount of gold that we had started to go below the amount of dollars that we had printed, Nixon had no choice but to take us off the dollar standard, the gold standard, which ended the backing of the dollar by gold. And that is when Jim Blanchard got a fire lit under him and said, hey, you need to own gold. And it was illegal to own at that time. So by 1974, he had created a grassroots movement, which helped to push gold becoming re-legalized, private ownership of gold re-legalized under Gerald Ford, which was outlawed by Roosevelt in 1983 as an extreme measure to help in the Depression era and following the Wall Street crash.
Right.
That's kind of the bigger picture.
Okay.
Now, gold has value. It's perceived value. It tends to move in price and surges and then stabilizes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for most of man's time, gold was $20 an ounce and silver was $1 an ounce. And that's how our currency was based from the 1790s all the way to the 1930s.
Okay.
And that's based on the gold to silver ratio, how easily gold and silver were found in the ground back, you know, in ancient times, 20-to-1 value of gold to silver. And today that ratio is 60-70-to-1. And it's just a value based on what the metal's inherent value is. But, you know, gold is the reason people like gold is it has perceived value. Number one, it doesn't have any counterparty risk, mm-hmm. which means you don't have to have anybody else tell you what it's worth. Like a stock has counterparty risk. The company has to perform. Dollar has counterparty risk because it's based on the full faith and credit of the
And it seems like an oxymoron right there, but yes.
If you buy a real estate deal, you know, your mortgage company is the company that has counterparty risk to you paying the note. Mm-hmm. But gold and silver have no counterparty risk. They're one of the few assets that truly has its own value and it's valued internationally. And especially in Asia and India, it's extremely popular, gold and silver, and they have been for generations. Because they've had currency defaults over there for generations. And they understand what happens when a currency default occurs.
Okay.
These are the main reasons why gold has historical value, what it's been used for. You know, now we're in modern society. You know, you can print money like crazy. Right?
And
you can't easily print a whole lot of new gold. You've got to dig it out of the ground. And it takes about 2 tons of dirt. Or 2,000 pounds, rather, a ton of dirt to find 1 ounce of gold in a good mine.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. It's hard to get it.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned the scarcity, and I'm guessing, like you said, obviously it's more scarce and more difficult, where if I remember, I think they said last year the Fed printed, I've heard anywhere from 25 to 40% of all dollars that have ever been created. I don't care what number you pick. That's a lot of dollars that have been into the money supply, but you know, you just can't flip a switch. And it's like, oh, okay, now there's, you know, 14,000 pounds of gold now in a safe that we didn't have before. You actually have to mine it and find it and, you know, get it to a malleable form to use as a currency.
Right. So we had a fairly responsible government and debt load until the financial crisis of 2008 hit. And then they turned on the printing presses to fill the economic hole that the crisis created. And they've done it again now with the pandemic. They've just flooded the system with the money that the economy didn't create to fill that. And as Doug Casey, one of Jim's buddies and one of my old friends, likes to say, that chicken hasn't quite come home to roost yet, but it will.
Yeah.
And when the dollar devaluation that all this is creating occurs, you know, gold and silver should have a much higher value relative to the dollar than they do today.
Right.
Especially based on inflation that's, you know, just doesn't seem to be transitory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The only transitory and their target is 2%. And I don't, maybe hitting three times your target is a good thing. I don't know. But
well, we're there.
Exactly. Yeah. 5.4, 5.3, I think was the latest estimate, but yeah.
Right, so imagine putting $100 in the bank and coming back to it a year later and it's only worth $94.
Exactly.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that means.
And I think you brought up a good point too with the inflation hedging. Now I know, yeah, I won't name names, but there's a lot of gurus out there that say, oh, well, gold, you know, if you know, from the ancient Roman times, a gold coin would buy a nice suit or toga or whatever they wore then. And if you bury that in the ground and dig it up, you know, 100, 200 years from now, pull it out, well, it still buys you a good suit. So therefore, you know, you didn't make any money. But I think they seem to fail to realize, you know, nowadays a good suit's probably what? $1,200-$1,400 for a really good suit, where, you know, back in Roman times, it probably was only $50, where you buy, you know, a bury $50 bill today and pull that $50 bill out 100 years from now, that, you know, who knows what that's going to buy.
Right. So gold and silver hold their purchasing power over time. And it's not really an investment that will you go into to make a lot of money. It is like a life preserver or a financial insurance policy for the rest of your money.
Okay. If
you look at some studies, and one of them is done by the World Gold Council, which is a lobbying organization for gold. So they have a bias, but they've done some studies that say, you know, over the last 20 years that there are two investments that have been the top investments. Number one is real estate and number two is gold. And according to the World Gold Council, if you have 6 to 8% of your assets in precious metals, it's enough of a counterbalance where if we go through bad times like we did in 2008 through 2010, or going through it over the last year, you know, that counterbalance will pay off for you, which it has.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done, gold and silver done exactly what they've supposed to do in troubled times, which is gain value against other things that are not holding value, like stocks or land, for brief periods of time. Then it tends to hold those gains, you know, once the episode is over, which is what's happened. You know, between 1982 and 2003, gold was between $300 and $500 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, it's taken off. It got all the way to 1900 in 2011, but the previous high was 850 in 1980. During another inflationary period, and then it corrected back down and stayed in that 300 to 500 channel. When it reset and moved higher, the bottom was 1050, and it never got cheaper than that, which was the old resistance level.
So right.
The support was higher than that, and now we're in another phase where the bottom is about 1675 now, and the old high was 1900. Well, we took the old high out last summer at 2069, so we're just channeling right now, but this is the kind of thing metals can do and why they're a good hedge as an insurance policy. If you have 6 to 8%, you have enough to help you when times are troubled. But when times are good and you want to be in land or real estate or stocks and bonds, when interest rates are higher and you're getting more on your bonds, gold and silver won't do that well. And if you have 6 to 8% of your assets, you don't have too much. So you deny yourself opportunity in other sectors. That's where they've draw the line there at 6 to 8%. I think you should have 5 to 10%.
Okay.
And some of our clients go much, much more heavily into the precious metal sector, depending on what they're, you know, how much they trust the government to do it right.
Sure.
Right now, that trust is waning.
Right. Well, and trust in the government, I mean, you know, if you're in the U.S., that's probably a lot different than if you're in Venezuela right now. You might have 100% of your assets in gold if you can.
Right, exactly.
Just kind of a few of the things you mentioned, Dana, just kind of unpacking this. When you mentioned historically through the gold to silver ratio, and I'm drawing a complete blank of where I read this years ago, but there was one book I read that they had a gold to silver ratio that if the gold to silver ratio was higher than 80 or higher, so 80 ounces of silver would buy 1 ounce of gold, as I understand it. If it was that level or higher, one should buy silver. If the gold to silver ratio is 40 or under, then one should buy gold. And if it's between that 40 and 80, then, you know, kind of even amounts of each. Have you heard of that, or do you still think that holds true today, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's part of what I talked about at the summit on land was the gold to silver ratio and how you measure it. And you got your numbers exactly right.
Okay.
So in modern times, the ratio is skewed higher than it was, you know, previously, the 1930s and earlier, it was 20 to 1 for 2,000 years.
Okay.
Now we're in free markets. So, and especially in the situation we're in now, where, you know, gold is really the go-to metal in times of trouble, because you can put $100,000 worth of gold in your hands. That's just 50 ounces of gold right now, carried easily. $200,000 would be, you know, a little over 100 ounces. That weighs 8 pounds. You can carry it like this. Silver, oh, wow. if you had $200,000 worth of silver, it'd fill up.
You'd have a pallet.
You need a wheelbarrow. It's not mobile. It's not
okay. Poor.
So the rule of thumb is this. You divide the gold price by the silver price to get the current, whatever the gold and silver ratio is today.
Sure.
60 is the equilibrium point where the balance is perfect in modern times. And I've got a chart that shows this. When you get to 80 or more, yes, silver becomes cheap relative to gold. And when you get to 40 or less, gold becomes cheap relative to silver.
Okay.
So right now, the ratio is going to be about 80 to 1 because silver has been hit and on this correction that we're going through right this moment, and gold has held up a little bit better. So silver is cheap. So new investors coming into this space, I would say if you had, you know, $100, $10,000, $100,000 to invest, I would put 60% of that into silver and 40% of it into gold, because silver is a bit cheap relative to gold right now. So that's how we use the ratio. When someone wants to add more of their position or is interested in trying to figure out where the better value is, that's what we use the ratio for.
Okay. So, yeah. And you mentioned the ratio. I think last, I believe it was May of 2020. I think the ratio hit, what was it, 120 or 100? I mean, it was up there. And I even bought a bunch of silver at the time because it's like, okay, this is just ridiculously cheap. Fast forward a year, I almost doubled my money. So I didn't sell everything, but I did sell some. So, okay, good to know about those silver ratios. And
yeah, when that ratio spiked to 125 as the peak.
125, okay.
Yeah, I loaded up on silver too and did quite well.
Yep. Yeah, we got to 15, what was it, 15, 16 an ounce, I think was the trough. That just kind of seemed silly cheap at that point.
It was just a knee-jerk sell-off to the to the coronavirus reaction affected all markets. And metals do that. They did the same thing in 2009 for about 2 months. Gold and silver both tanked, and then they regained it right away. That took 3 months. This time it took about 3 days. It
was, sure.
Because everything moves faster now.
Okay.
So. You had to pull the trigger fast when we had that opportunity. So,
all right.
Doesn't happen very often.
Yep. Makes sense. So now if any of our listeners are interested in, purchasing gold or silver, you know, I'm guessing just hopping on the internet and buying some overseas at the first place you find, I'm sure that'd be the most or the best way to get a good price of gold and silver, or you have some other options that might be more beneficial.
Well, we are a national mail order company. My company's American Gold Exchange. And if you can see our website underneath my head.
Yep. Amerigold. Yep. I'll put that in the show notes as well.
GOLD.com. We're very competitively priced. You know, our business model is based on referrals and repeat clients. So we treat everybody like we would like to be treated. And that's how I set up this company. Because there's a lot of good companies in our business that are a little bit aggressive on pricing. And they don't give the client as much chance to make money. So I knew that we had to do that. And I also knew that the internet would level the playing field. And it did. So that was how when we started the company in 1998, that's how we've based our model. And that's how we've lived for the last 23 years. There's a couple things that are important to remember if you're buying gold and silver, especially through the mail. We are an unregulated business.
Okay.
And when we're in a better market like we are right now, there are opportunists that pop up, try and make as much money as fast as they can, and then they go away. And some of these people are very rude to their clients and their pricing. And it's hard for you to understand. And some of them have really good salespeople. So we have a getting started guide I can share with your people. We can give you a link to that, or I can email you a copy of the PDF. But we focus on the most basic products that are always easily sellable. so that our clients have liquidity when they need it, because that's really important. And gold and silver are among the most liquid things you can have. You just present them to the buyer and they'll pay you right away. There's no negotiation. And if you're in the most widely traded items, they're also the most competitively priced, both for the bid and the ask.
Okay.
Right. And they have a tighter buy sell spread than some specialty items that have a higher selling price and no real bid when you want to sell it. Right. Okay. So we stick with the mainstream. We call them bread and butter items. Number one. Number two, I'm a member of the Professional Numismatists Guild. And all that means is coin nerd. We're coin nerds. Professional Numismatists Guild members are rare coin dealers too. But what goes with a P&G membership is vetting. You can't just join the P&G. You have to be invited to join.
Okay.
You have to be a member in the community of good standing. You have to have financial wherewithal that you can prove. And most importantly, you have to submit to binding arbitration. So if you were my customer and you had a dispute with me over pricing or delivery or false representation, you could go to the P&G and they would call an arbitration board that I would have to answer your complaint against. And they would decide what's best for you, the client, right? And we're P&G members are pretty much self-policing because of this. We know that we're going to be subject to binding arbitration if we abuse someone, so we don't. And we're also tend to be members who are long-standing in the community, right? Okay. This is our livelihood and has been for decades for most P&G members. So we're the most experienced, and I would like to say reliable, members or trading partners that you can have. So I would say if you're really interested in getting into the precious metal space, find a P&G member dealer, Professional Numismatist Guild. And we have little logos that we publish on our websites. There's only about 350 active ones in the country today, but it's more than enough.
Okay.
All right. So you have to be careful who you do business with. And there are lost leaders.
Yeah.
No, and some of the television advertising you see with the famous celebrity spokespeople, some of those companies are not the best companies to do business with.
Sure.
They tend to be aggressive in pricing and sell you stuff that you really don't need. And I've seen a couple examples of that that have been not so good. So stick with tried and true, which are P&G members. I'm just one of them.
Okay.
One of many.
As I understand too, unfortunately, there's been more and more, shall we say, fake gold and fake silver from China and other countries where they're, as I understand, they have like a tungsten middle with some silver alloy, which I'm guessing to the untrained eye, they're probably not going to know that's a fake silver bar or gold coin. But I'm guessing back to the P&G, you or other dealers are obviously going to be, testing and certifying that, what you say you're selling is what you're getting and what you're buying is true gold or true silver.
Right. So we're experienced. So we know what the metals, are supposed to look like. We have testing devices that are not, more expensive than you would need as a public, member. You know, as professional dealers, we need these testing devices now that we can buy, cost a couple thousand each, but we, got two of them here in our office.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a problem with, it's small, but it's growing of spurious bars, and there are some counterfeit coins as well, but it's mostly bars coming in from China into the U.S.,
okay,
mostly through online either auction platforms or through private, listing platforms. And you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yep.
Name names, but there's a couple of big names.
Yeah.
And as president of the Professional Numismatist Guild in 2016, this problem was brought to me, and I conceived of the Industry Anti-Counterfeiting Task Force,
which
today works with Secret Service and Homeland Security to interdict shipments of this kind of merchandise that are coming in from China. Now, if you deal with a reputable dealer, that's going to eliminate 99.9% of the potential problem. But if you go onto an online auction platform or especially in a private sale, someplace where you might buy some used furniture or something for your kids,
Craigslist or something like that.
I don't want to say names, but those are the places where these kind of deals that are too good to be true occur. And if they are too good to be true, there's a reason It's because they're not a good, it's not good merchandise.
Sure.
So it's not a big problem, but you do have to be wary of it. Because, you know, 1 ounce of gold is worth $1,750 today. You get one bad ounce of gold, it's a big hit.
Yeah. And now, Dana, the kind of the last big thing I wanted to touch base on, and I wasn't even, you know, fully aware of this. At the summit, you had mentioned there was a company that could basically store your gold. You know, you don't have to necessarily, you know, buried in the backyard or put it under the mattress, but with kind of the added benefit, you know, whether it's, you know, I'm a real estate investor, you know, maybe I need some funds for a down payment or liquidity for emergency. And I think for a lot of us, you know, the, you know, catch knee jerk reaction is, okay, I need money. I have whatever, $10,000 worth of gold. I'll just sell the gold and I have the money. But you had mentioned there's a, you know, entity or outfit that you can keep your metals and basically just take out a loan against it and get the funds that way while still owning the precious metals. Could you talk to just kind of highlights of how that works or where one could do that?
Right. So there, for storage, because you're going to get physical product. That's what we are, physical product. And that's what we encourage, because that's the real thing. Right. So when you get it, what do you do with it? Well, typically you would put it in a safe deposit box, but that's really not the best place anymore. So you've got to have some place to store your metal. There are private storage facilities that exist around the country. There's not a lot of them.
Okay.
There's a big one in Las Vegas called Trans Depository Services, TDS. And we'll get back to that in a second. There's another one called Delaware Depository Services in Delaware. These are two big warehouses on the East Coast and in Las Vegas that you can store your metal at. Okay. And these are professional facilities. You get charged an annual storage fee that's mostly regarding insurance, because as the value of the metal goes up and down, so does the value of your holdings, so does the cost to insure it. So you're going to get a fee that's usually about a half a point to a point a year for what the metal value is. And the beauty of these warehouses is if you have an account there, like I have an account at TDS, you know, we can sell you metal that you put in your TDS account in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And then if you want to sell it, we just tell TDS that you sold it to me and they move it, you know, off of your shelf and back onto my shelf.
Okay.
Right? You don't have to do it. There's no shipping charges.
Okay.
And it's immediate. But what TDS also offers is a lending program against the assets.
Okay.
And that's their collateral finance corporation. So you can literally buy the metal, send it to TDS, have it stored there, and then you can borrow against it.
Okay.
At a reasonable rate, which is usually about prime plus, you know, 4 or 5 points. And that sounds like a lot of points, but right now prime is low.
Right.
So it's 6-7% a year is the, you know, financing fee, if I've got my numbers right. But you can literally borrow against it if you like. So you have that cash flow and still have the metal there.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I think that prime, like you said, plus 4 or 5 points. The last time I looked, it was 3.25%. So yeah, 7-8% roughly. And I'm assuming part of that, obviously the cost of lending is a little bit higher, but while it is collateralized, you know, taking out the loan probably doesn't take near as much paperwork as, well, I, you know, going to get a mortgage and sign, you know, 15 reams of paper at the bank and get my blood drawn and DNA samples as well to get that 3.25% low rate.
It takes 2 or 3 days.
Gotcha.
They already have the collateral.
Sure. Yep.
So they just attach it. You sign the documents and it only takes a couple of days because it's a simple process.
Okay.
And the only thing is, if the metal value drops, you might get a margin call.
Okay.
If it goes up, you might be able to borrow a little bit more because they'll loan, I think, 75% loan to value ratio.
75. Okay. Yeah. So, and then I'm guessing if someone does, like you said, default on the loan, they just, you know, take your holdings and that's your collateral for it. And
right. Right. Whatever you owe, they'll take it out of the metal and value. And then what's ever left over is yours.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, this has been very, very interesting. And I'm hoping all these, like I said, I'll have all these links and the PDF and Trans Depository Services, all that I have in the show notes. Finally, Dana, is there any information you'd like to give our listeners? And if they, you know, were interested in finding out more about gold and silver, or perhaps even purchasing some, starting, you know, their portfolio, is there a way that they can reach out to you and your company to do that?
All right. Well, our website once again is www.amergold.com. Our website features just the, like I said, the most basic bread and butter products. We deal in a lot of other things that we don't list on our website, but what you find on our website is, you know, what you would want to buy as an investor for specifically a hedge against uncertainty in the future, economic uncertainty, most basic, widely traded, competitively priced items. If you want to talk to us, you can email us at info@amergold.com.
Okay.
And we have an information rich website. So if you poke around a little bit, you can read our gold market updates, which I write on a quarterly basis. We put up a daily gold market update. We have price and performance charts for the metals. So that's a good way to get started. We have our Getting Started guide, which lists the most common precious metals items. As I said, I can email you the PDF for that, which you can share with your people.
Sure.
And it's good, just basic information.
Perfect. All right. Sounds good. Yeah.
One other thing, I have four hand-trained account managers who help our clients. If anyone wants to call us and have a consultation, because we are consultative in nature, we want to help you do what's right for you, so you'll come back and do more business with us.
Sure.
Phone number is 800-613-9323, which is how we can be reached by phone.
9323. Perfect. All right. I will make sure to put that all in the show notes. If you're listening to this and driving at the moment, don't, you know, worry about trying to write it down while driving at the same time. Just refer back to the show notes when you pull over later. Dana, thanks again. This has been a great meeting. I'm glad we were able to connect at the summit. Any last words for anyone out there that maybe after all this is still a doubter of gold and silver, that they're just shiny rocks that have no value?
You know, we're in a more inflationary environment than we've been in for 40 years.
Okay.
Right. And this really is destructive for wealth and for purchasing power. And gold and silver do really well holding value in an environment like this. So that's number one, is inflation is reared its ugly head again. And it's hard to tamp out when it, you know, holds tight like it's trying to.
Yep.
Number one. Number two, our debt has just exploded over the last couple of years. And when you have the kind of debt that we have, which is more than 100% of GDP, mm-hmm. you know, economies don't grow at more than about 3% a year when they attain this kind of 100% of debt to GDP level and have had that for 5 years or more. Now, we've been there for, this is our seventh year in that spot. So we're going through an economic boom right now because we went through an economic bust last year. Mm-hmm. But in another 6 months or a year, our GDP is going to settle back down more towards the average over the last 5 years, which is 2.5 to 3%. And we might have inflation that's actually 3, 4, or 5%, which is what we call stagflation.
Sure.
Which is low growth and higher inflation. And this is destructive for wealth. And again, precious metals are like a financial life preserver in this kind of environment. So it's important that everybody have a little bit to help them hedge properly. And like I said before, 6 to 8% is really where to go. If the economy was doing great, inflation was low, I would say, hey, you know, this isn't as important.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's more important now than it's ever been.
Sure.
And I'm very sincere about this. I've watched boom and busts over 40 years. And this is one of those situations where this could last for 5, 6 years. And by the time we're done, gold could be 2,500 an ounce, 3,000 an ounce. Silver could be, instead of $23 an ounce, like it is today, it could be $33 or $43 an ounce. Mm-hmm. Very possible. And the dollar is just going to continue to lose purchasing power, which is really the main point. And gold and silver help you hold that purchasing power.
Gotcha. Yeah, wise advice. I definitely agree with you on all that. So, well, thanks again, Dana. I really appreciate this. And I hope all our listeners appreciate this too, and hopefully took away one or two gold, no pun intended, but one or two golden nuggets from this podcast. So with that, we will wrap this up and we will be back with you next time on the Wealth and Freedom Podcast. Take care.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.